run for cover. This is Radioactive Sports with superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
I take pride in my hair.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Check swing, strike three. And Hunter will have words with Joe West. A check swing called by the home plate umpire, not the first base umpire. And Torrey very upset. Nathan gets his save.
Torrey tried to hold up.
He did hold up. That's a terrible way for the ball game to end, especially when umpires are more often than not going to ask for help. And that's what Torrey was upset about. Paul Molitor's debut as manager ends up in a loss, and the Twins were pretty much stymied by one of the best in the business, David Price.
I'm not worried.
Are you worried?
I'm not worried.
Okay. Got 161 more to go. Are you worried?
I'm not worried.
You're confident. Are you confident?
Damn it, Maverick!
On your side!
Hello. Twins lose 4-0.
That's terrible.
Get used to it, Charles.
Well, I don't get a brain bag. Calm.
You can't make halftime adjustments talking like that, Lou.
Butt fumble.
Sit down and shut up.
Twins lose 4-0.
I'm not gay no more.
I don't like men no more. I said I like women. Women. I said women. I'm not gay. I will love a woman.
Because people like to say salsa.
Just one of those days. I'd like to speak in little clips today. So
if you have a telescope, Uranus is visible too.
You ever notice that?
Tia.
I wanted to come to work today with a good attitude, straight off the big Easter holiday, and being so excited about getting to work, about the national championship game, which I've got one team in still from my bracket.
You're a son of a gun.
And hoping that the Twins would do well. Twins lose 0-4. I'm in a bad mood.
Would you like me to sing that one song to you?
Yeah, which one?
La 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 la. Rainy days and Mondays always get the soup down. Funny how it seems that it's the only thing to do. Find a way to go out and love me. No, hell of a weekend.
It was good.
Heck of a weekend in sports. Unbelievable.
We're going to talk to another manic Monday.
We're going to talk to Marcus Fuller next, who is a very smart basketball player when it comes to college basketball. Maybe the smartest I know. And he's going to put you in your place when it comes to your guy from Duke. However, I'm the biggest Duke fan of all time because, gosh darn it, if Wisconsin wins tonight, I may call in sick to work tomorrow. We work with too many people from Wisconsin, and Minnesota fans know this.
Yeah.
You work with Wisconsin people, they infiltrate us like ISIS.
They do. That's a good analogy.
If Wisconsin is so darn good, why do they come here because of we have the jobs? There are jobs here that pay well. The healthiest city in the United States just voted that today.
Yep. Again, as it has been many, many times.
People from Wisconsin who love the Packers, you never hear them bragging about the Brewers because they're never very good, or the Bucks.
They don't say a word about the Brewers.
It's always the dang Packers or the Badgers.
They don't say anything about the Bucks.
Why are the Packers and Badgers always better than us at everything? Drives me insane. And I was sitting there watching that game, Kentucky and Wisconsin, on Saturday, and that was a bummer because my guy, the who shall not be named number two, Cat, who we're calling the big center in the middle, who I want the Timberwolves to draft overall. Marcus Fuller backs me up, by the way. He's going to tell you why coming up next. But then after the Badgers win, what do they say? They don't go up to the microphones and say, you know what, it was a really tough game. We're counting our blessings. We're doing it as a team. We beat the undefeated team. And this, the first thing they say, 38-1. 38-1, taking shots at Kentucky. 38-1.
Yeah. Well, they think they're cute.
Oh,
they think
God.
They're cute.
They're not cute, though.
They had to stand up and let everybody know that the one blemish on the mighty Kentucky squad was them. They beat them. And did they ever, by the way?
Barely.
They came on pretty strong at the end. But like they had a second wind or something at the end.
Only because the refs screwed it up down the stretch.
Yeah, they still won.
They still did win, you're right, and I can't blame it on the referees.
I wanted to see it. I wanted to see Cat against Devil so bad.
But you know that the shot clock ran out before he scored that field goal.
I know it. I saw it.
And my guy, Cat, center for the Wildcats.
Yep.
Going to go number one overall in the draft, probably.
Well, he might.
Was playing against the best college basketball player of the year.
The Tank.
Frank the Tank Kaminsky was ruled the best basketball player of the year, according to the Associated Press. I want to say Friday or Saturday. Still a pretty good game.
I mean, it's enough to make you want to cry. I mean, honestly, I mean, we get the right team in. When you get Tyus Jones there,
can you imagine?
I mean, the kid's in the championship game. He's at the big dance.
I'm rooting for my guy Tyus Jones. Yeah. I'm the biggest Duke fan you've ever seen today.
Yeah, me too.
I love him so much.
I don't want Wisconsin to win.
No,
I mean, all the people in Wisconsin come over here and they get the great paying jobs. They keep good Minnesota people from getting some of those jobs, and they run back across the border to their little shanties and they vote. And they root and they cheer for all the great teams over there.
And then
they have great teams over there.
Then they rub it in our faces when they win stuff.
They come back over here to work and meet us at the water coolers.
Bastards. I hate them.
I hate them.
No, I don't hate them. But
I hate every single one of them.
It's just tiring. It's tiring. It's tiring. It's tiring.
And then they've got these damn twins. 4-0.
Damn it, Maverick.
Paul, do you feel okay about this?
I might need to get a new manager already, don't you think?
I'm confident. I'm not worried.
I'm not worried.
Okay.
That's Mike Yeo, by the way.
Oh, it is.
Mike Yeo's now worried after losing 2 straight. However, they could lose the rest of their games and still get in the playoffs, according to the mathematics.
They could.
They could also clinch tonight a playoff spot if they beat the Winnipeg Jets, or if they tie the Winnipeg Jets and the LA Kings beat the Vancouver Canucks. So what do you do? Do you watch the national championship game or do you watch the Wild game?
Yeah, the Wild are in. I think that you would want to watch the national championship game. There's only one of those. You're going to see a lot of the Wild.
Yeah.
They're going to be playing for a while.
I hope so.
But
Wild game starts at 7, national championship, I want to say 8:15.
It's 8:15, I believe so.
I'm not worried. I am.
I'll tell you what. Mike, we didn't ask you, number one, if you wanted to watch the national championship game. You should keep a little better eye of what's going on the ice and just not be worried about watching the championship game. That'd be a lesson to you.
How about those Timberwolves?
But Rubio out. Gone again. Someone get an aspirin. And I told him not to do that. I told him, I don't know how many times on the air, don't play the guys that are already nicked up, kind of, and you have a recurring high ankle sprain and the bone situation in his foot. Why would they put him back in there? He's wrecked again.
One of our Twitter followers just said, holy crap, what sucks more, Ben singing or Joe West umpiring a game?
Just another manic Monday. How about star singing? That sucks ass. I'm big on that now, too. I'm saying a lot of that. A lot of that. Do you think it's good to say that?
I don't think so. Be honest. Yeah, I think so. I think it's right on.
It's okay.
Yeah, why not?
Because for everything today that I don't agree with, everything, if it doesn't agree with me, I'm going to go ahead and just say, well, that sucks ass. That'll go over big.
That's basically the whole day already. I mean, I hate to come on the radio and be such a Debbie Downer. Such a Debbie Downer, but the Minnesota Wild have lost 2 in a row. The Timberwolves have lost 6 in a row.
Twins are 0-1.
The Twins are never going to win a game for the rest of the year, by the way they played today. I mean, I know they were up against David Price. He's amazing.
He's good.
The Twins have historically had problems against left-handed pitching. Yeah, he's one of the best left-handed pitchers in the game. I get that. It was outside. It was cold. It was this. It was that.
AP's got to meet with Goodell. We haven't got anything to cheer about. I had a nice little bracket thing that was coming. It was coming to a head. All we had to do was get Kentucky in, get Cat versus Devil. Then Cat wins. We get Devil in the lottery.
No, Cat in the lottery. Bob Sansevier is crushing both of us in the NCAA March Madness bracket.
Yeah.
I mean, what else could possibly go wrong? And I'll tell you what that other thing is. Wisconsin will win tonight. That's going to be the cherry on the top of this mudslide pie of poo.
I'll tell you what. It sucks ass. Do we have to take a break yet?
No.
I don't know how much more we can harp about this. Can you sing? Sing something to me.
Jerry.
Oh, my God.
Jerry, baby. Jerry.
No, that's not
good either. But we got a good show, though. We got a loaded show. We got the draft tendencies. I like this. When you have tendencies on what the GMs are all about during their tenure, apparently we have enough to go on now that we can actually pick up on tendencies made by general manager Dick Spielberg.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that the Minnesota Vikings are not going to draft at number 11. I know that's not going to be shocking or earth-shattering, but the Vikings are going to trade back. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I will put money on it. Yeah. The Vikings will not select number 11. They'll trade back, and they're going to get Shaq Thompson.
I read that article that you sent me. The article by Ryan, is it Boeser?
Sure. Let's say Boeser.
On VikingsTerritory.com. He's got a pretty little article there, and a lot of tendencies would suggest that we're not going to pick an 11. You're right. Mm. So how are we going to get Trey Waynes?
We're not going to get Trey Waynes.
No, we're not, are we?
Shaq Thompson.
What you do is you trade that Peterson guy.
Who?
That AP.
Never heard of him.
You got a couple picks. You match your number 11 with number 27. You give them both to somebody else. You move up a little bit. Get that Trey Waynes in here.
I would love that.
I don't know what's going to happen, but we're gonna talk about Dick. Dick Spielman.
I'm worried. We're gonna talk about Trey Waynes not going to be there at number 11 anyway, I don't think.
I think he'll go more like an 8.
Mm-hmm. Atlanta?
Probably so, and wow, would that be... That'd be kind of rough down there, wouldn't it? That would make that team really good really quick. We got that Jim Rich guy. We got Rich on. We got Hardball, the hard seamer with... Mike Berardino.
Kind of a prick, huh?
Yeah.
Prick. He is. Seriously. You're a prick, man. I don't even know you.
Brandon Lang's on a little bit later in the show,
Brandon
too.
Brandon Lang!
He called it. Wisconsin over Kentucky. If they play just like Notre Dame did against Kentucky, they're going to go down.
But just to be fair, Amelia Reno and Brandon Lang and everybody we've talked to since West Virginia, first it was West Virginia, then it was Notre Dame, then it was Wisconsin, everybody just wanted the underdog to take down the behemoth Kentucky.
Of course.
The same time, what a great, I mean, a Disney movie in the making.
I know.
40-0 and NCAA championship, never losing a game.
Hasn't happened in 39 years. Indiana.
Why does Mother Nature hate us so much?
I don't know. It sucks ass. We got Monday night. Oh, we got opening Monday night. I love this piece that you put together for us. George Carlin.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the baseball versus football analogy.
We'll play that whole biatch coming up at
6:24
tonight.
Fun. I love that piece. I love George Carlin. So we're going to play that.
He's dead, by the way.
When did he pass away?
I don't know.
Can you look that up?
Really?
I think it's important to the fans to find out whether or not he's dead or not. I don't think he's dead.
No, he's dead. He's
what do you know anyway? Really you don't dead. Even know when.
June 22nd, 2008. It's only been 7 years. Wonder if his body is rotted yet.
I don't know how he was put to rest. I don't know
if he was cremated.
I mean, if he was cremated, I could answer that one very easily
and say yes, it's gone.
But I think if he was put to rest in a casket and put 6 feet underground, I would think that by now his body is slowly decomposing. Even if this
turns into soup,
I don't know, the embalming fluids and such.
From what I've heard, it doesn't really happen as much because they seal it in the vault and all that stuff.
Sure,
but if it wasn't sealed in the vault.
Yeah.
You open the casket, and it's just pure dust.
Yeah.
With the body in there, though.
Well, I mean...
The body's still in there, but it's just, I mean, packed with dust. Packed full.
It can't be right.
Yeah, it is. Read it.
It can't be right. It can't be right.
The interwebs.
Why would it be packed with dust?
It's dusty in there.
How does it get...
Nobody's dusting. There's no lemon pledge. There's no cleaning lady going down, digging down, making sure it's dust-free.
But it's a casket. How does it fill the place? How does it fill the casket up?
You know how you like serial killers? I like reading about dead bodies.
So if they were to exonerate, is that the word?
Exhume? Exhumed.
Well, the body of like a president. And they've done this before to find out whether what the cause of death was.
Sure.
In several different cases of... So what is the term?
Dust. Exhume? Exhume the body?
Yeah.
Yeah, dust.
They would find dust. And the body would be intact, though, right?
Yeah.
So sort of mummified?
Yeah.
Jeez.
And soupy. Turns into soup.
Jeez. Well, I don't know. I didn't know that. And you are into that.
I love dead bodies.
Good deal. That's good. Well, I'm into the serial killers, so maybe we can put a little show together sometime and do a show around my guys and then what you like the best.
Yeah. You tell me how they get killed, and then I'll tell you what happens to their bodies 10, 15, 20 days, years, months down the road.
Sometimes my guys, they're really good at that part, too.
Well, sometimes your guys eat the guys, so there's no evidence for me to talk. Yeah. So when you say so-and-so kills so-and-so and then ate him, then I've got nothing to add.
Yeah, you can't add. It's so true. We can talk about Jeff Dahmer. I haven't read a lot on Jeff yet, for the longest time. But we're going to bring back, here's a nice segue. We're going to bring Marcus Fuller in.
Oh, perfect.
Next, that's next. He's going to talk a little CBA, NCAA theme. That's going to end with Wisconsin beating Kentucky. Is that what he's really going with?
What?
Wisconsin beating? Oh, well, that's
what happened on Saturday.
I was going to say, what do you have this?
I'm bringing him on for one reason and one reason only. He wrote about...
Yeah.
The U shall not be named number two, besting the U shall not be named number one.
I'll tell you, that game's been played. I don't know why he's coming in to talk about that unless he's going to go back over it and summarize.
He's going to put you in your place by who the Minnesota Timberwolves should draft.
Maybe I'll bury him. Come on back, everybody. Marcus Fuller right here on Radioactive Sports.
You're listening to 105 The Ticket. Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
A lot of stunned faces in the Kentucky fan section as the shot is launched. There will be no undefeated champion on Wisconsin with an unbelievable stretch drive to the championship game. The first undefeated team to come to a Final Four since UNLV back in 91. And once again, that undefeated team is beaten in this spot. Wisconsin takes out Kentucky.
Well, these things happen.
And that's when I decided that I hate everybody and everything.
And now we must deal with this. Wisconsin fans.
Oh, God.
Again, we have to deal with Wisconsin fans here to help us delve into this matter and what we can do to try and get a grip on everything before it goes down tonight against Duke is Marcus Fuller. He also co-hosts a show with Hardwood Rob on Saturdays. One-hour show. One and done is what it's called. Marcus, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up, guys?
You know what? Wisconsin made it. Did you hear?
Oh, I heard it. Believe me, I heard it. My wife is a Wisconsin grad.
How do you do it? How do you do that?
Yeah, I try to get my kids to be Badger haters. That's how I do it.
So. Yeah, that's how you do it.
So she graduated from UW, but did she grow up in Wisconsin?
From Minnesota. She grew up in Woodbury and... went over to Wisconsin, and you know she cheers for the Gophers, except for when Wisconsin plays.
Okay.
And I have to hear it pretty much all day long.
Frank the Tank. That's all you're probably having in your house right now, and he's probably going to dominate tonight. There's something about that guy. He is really slick.
You think he's going to dominate over your guy, the guy that you want to draft, the guy that we don't name?
Why didn't my guy get Player of the Year?
Because he's not that good, right, Marcus?
Your guy's Okafor. I actually think that Okafor, in any other draft, he would be number one overall, but not the draft with Karl Anthony Towns in it. Neither player is declared, but clearly they're gonna go one and done. And I just feel like Karl Anthony Towns, both sides of the ball, his defense at times this year is right up there with Willie Cauley-Stein. And is one of the best, if not the best, defensive big man in college basketball. And really, in the NCAA tournament here, he's shown quite a bit of an offensive game. I wouldn't say that his post moves rival Jahlil Okafor's, but they're getting there. And to me, that was the weakness in his game all season. And for him to come around and start to improve in that aspect to the point where I think, he's a true low post presence. I mean, Kaminsky, he gave everything to Kaminsky in that game. And I feel like, in the NCAA tournament, there's the only reason why Kentucky wasn't able to defeat Wisconsin and really had me worried a couple times this year was because without Towns, they didn't have much offense inside.
Yeah, we're talking to Marcus Fuller. I had to take a deep breath there because if you jinx this draft for the Minnesota Timberwolves by saying their names, I swear to God, Marcus Fuller, we will not be throwing them again.
Don't mess this up.
I mentioned another player from Ohio State. I will not mention his name. So
No, you can mention his name all you want to. We call him Cat and Devil, and I think everybody knows who that they are. But so you would take Cat over Devil if you were the Minnesota Timberwolves if they had the first or second overall draft pick if they were both there available. But both games on Saturday, Devil and Cat had played similar minutes, similar field goal percentage. Free throw percentage, obviously, Cat is much better, always better than Devil. A little bit more rebounds from Cat, similar points. But Cat was playing against Frank Kaminsky, who is the best college basketball player of the season, according to, the Associated Press last week. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, you got to tell the superstar that I'm right and he's wrong. He's been wrong for so many weeks, and he just needs to evolve into knowing that Cat is a better player than Devil.
I think that you're clearly right. Cat to me is everything. He has everything you want in an all-star caliber big man. I mean, he hits free throws at an 80% rate compared to Devil, who shoots in the 50s. Mm-hmm. He's a better shot blocker, mm-hmm. clearly. And again, he has been a true low post presence offensively, and he's shown post moves that rival. I mean, he's a throwback post player. Okafor to me is a guy. I'm sorry. Oh man, you guys are getting me here.
That's all right.
I can't do it. I can't. Devil.
keep pouring on. Just pour it on. Just go ahead. Lay it on thick.
Would you stop talking?
How many times can I jinx these guys?
Yeah. Would you stop talking, superstar, and just listen to Marcus Fuller and the infinite wisdom that he has?
Okay.
In saying Cat is better than Devil.
But Devil, I think is going to be. He has a chance to be an all-star center as well. Mm-hmm. But there are things that are they're you know against him right now. It's free throw shooting again. You know, conditioning wise, you know, before his senior year, he really, got into condition and got his body into a position where he actually looks like a decent athlete, but his athleticism was always a big question. And he's not a guy that needs to actually put on some weight, as Cat does. Cat can add about 20 pounds and really keep his athleticism. He has great length. And again, I'm not alone on this. Most, you know, right now, I think the consensus is that Cat has all the tools right now to be the best, post player in this draft. And, you know, Devil's not that far behind.
See, I'm just going by one of the games. That's enough.
Shut it up.
Listen, you sit there like I had to. Just sit there like I had to. I've got the floor. Now here's the deal, Marcus. I saw Devil play against San Diego State.
Right.
Now, granted, it was San Diego State. But I was listening to the commentary by Grant Hill. And, of course, granted, no pun intended, he played there at Duke. So I know what his feelings are going to be about Devil. So, but he went on and on and on and then made the comparison at that time with Cat. And he was all about Devil.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and Grant Hill's a pretty good basketball player.
But that was the first game of the NCAA March Madness tournament, was it not?
It wasn't.
Well, I think the way Cat has progressed, which is all the NBA insider writers and the college basketball writers are saying, is Cat will continue to develop. Whereas,
I think that Devil has more of an upside in terms of growing into that body.
Where do you kind of base that on as far as,
yeah, Soup.
Having more upside?
I'll tell you what. You know what? I think that he's going to be the kind of guy that, as you mentioned, he got himself into shape from last year, being from Chicago, getting to Duke, finally getting himself into some kind of... I think that he's got a long ways to go in terms of conditioning and honing himself out. I think that Cat has already done a lot of that. I think he's already there. But I think that this guy gets by and does a pretty good job, and he's not there yet. I can clearly see it.
No question. But that's why he'll be drafted, in my opinion, over Devil, is because you haven't seen the press the surface.
That's what I'm thinking. I think he's got a huge upside.
It's amazing to me that he's made the improvements that he's made with a guy like Cauley Stein right there with him, another 7-footer who was a first-team All-American. But he's clearly been the best post player on that team. And I think what Devil has done this season is similar to the player that he's going to be in the NBA. What we've seen from Cat is not even close, in my opinion, to where we're going to see of him in the NBA. But these, we're talking about 1A and 1B because both these guys, in my opinion, will be all-star centers.
No question. No question.
No, you're absolutely right. It's not like I dog the devil by any means. Like, it's so tough to navigate the bombs of not saying these two names, but
we can't jinx ourselves.
No, because everything when it comes to the Minnesota Timberwolves are jinxed. But we're talking to Marcus Fuller, my best friend and the smartest basketball mind I've ever talked to in my life.
Oh, I love that.
From the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com. Also a host and co-host with Hardwood Rob of One and Done, 1 hour basketball show Saturday mornings right here on 105 The Ticket. But when it comes to Cat, the guy that I love, who's like you said, he's in shape, he's great, he actually wanted to be the NBA's tallest two guard. He could be a point guard. That he has ball handling skills. He can hit free throws.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Okafor, another
aspect of his game, his shooting ability. He actually can stretch it out to 3-point range.
Yes.
And we've not even seen that this year because obviously, you know, Kentucky is just loaded on the perimeter. But I think that, you know, you'll see that in the NBA. I mean, he's going to stretch it out. And how many centers out there right now have 3-point range?
Not very many.
7-footers. I mean, true back-to-the-basket type of centers. You know, I'm not talking about the Dirks of the world. You know, that's just a part of his game that we're going to continue to see expand. And I don't think, you know, Devil is ever going to be an outside shooting threat as a big man.
He's just going to rely on his
physical ability. And he's just going to pound guys and try to just put it over the top on their head, just similar to Shaquille O'Neal. But again, I just don't think he's that kind of athlete that Shaquille O'Neal was.
Yeah, I don't think he is either. But I think he will be. I think he's just scraped the surface of what he can be athletically. I don't think he's even in shape or the kind of guy.
Why would you want to draft a guy that's fat in high or college?
He's pretty damn good for the shape he's in.
If he's pretty damn good. In college, you're only going to get fatter the older you get.
Probably fat in college.
Well, no, I wasn't, but I got fatter as I got older, and that's the way it works. So why do you want to draft a guy that's already fat? Look at Anthony Bennett.
Well, we're going to run his ass off if we get him here.
He doesn't run.
Eddie Curry comes to mind.
No kidding. And that's another thing, Marcus Fuller, too, when you have Ricky Rubio, Zach LaVine, Andrew Wiggins as your guards and your wing players, and as you're running up and down and jamming and doing this, do you want a guy who's still back on the other side of the court because he just grabbed a rebound and he's so fat he can barely even walk? Or do you want a guy that could dribble the ball himself and take it coast to coast if he wanted to as a 7-footer?
They'll never have him doing that anyway.
He could, but
I mean, he's athletic as all hell. Talk to me real quickly about Tyus Jones. Just two or three lines worth, Marcus. How far can this kid go as far as a professional career after Duke? What do you think of Tyus Jones?
We want to get ahead of ourselves, but I think one of the main reasons why Jahlil Okafor did not win Player of the Year is because in every big game this year, Tyus Jones led the team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, including the game that they beat Wisconsin in Madison this year. You know, he's just a big game player. You know, he's done that ever since he was in the eighth grade. And actually, the last time he was at the Final Four in Indianapolis, it was in 2010 when Duke won the national title. He visited Indianapolis with his brother Trey, and they watched Duke win the national title. And he's just been dreaming of this moment ever since. You know, he's just a throwback. You know, I talk about throwback big guys, but he's a throwback point guard. You know, he's got great vision. His knowledge of the game, ever since he's in eighth grade, I felt like he was already ready to start at point guard for a Division I basketball team. And so by his senior year, you know he was ready to come into Duke and just run the show.
Love him to
death. Incredible.
And I need him to do everything he possibly can to beat those commie bastards, those red commie bastards.
Yeah, the red commie pigs is what they're whip. That's what they are.
Marcus, love you. Thank you, Marcus, for supporting my arguments that I've been trying to get the superstar to come over for the last week and a half.
I'm never going to come over there.
No question.
I love it.
Thanks, Marcus.
Yeah, love you, Marcus.
Happy about it. Okay,
Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, also co-host of One and Done with Hardwood Rob, Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock right here.
I think you guys won that debate. I think you probably won that one. But that sucks ass. By the way, we got 4.5 questions coming up next at 4:30, so get ready, everybody. This is where the show gets really good.
It's tough. It's tough because I want to be out there in the core. I did everything I could, but I'm trying to be positive. And when you only play like 22 games, try to take the good thing. This one made me smarter. I appreciate more the little details and the little things.
What? Yeah.
Here's the damn deal.
Did you understand a word?
No, I mean, you know, he doesn't have the common courtesy to speak English is the problem.
I think he was trying to speak English, but not very well.
Yeah. Another thing he doesn't do very well is, like, being in the kind of shape he needs to be in to get through an NBA season.
Although he did play all 82 games last year.
No, he didn't.
I did.
He did?
Yep.
I thought he missed some.
Not last year.
I'll take your word for it.
You should.
Right now, as far as I'm concerned, he's made of paper mache. I want him back.
Down.
He's so good.
They're
he's a good player.
Him down for I mean, there's nothing to play for. There's nothing to win.
They're calling it season ending. Well, it's 11 games left. Of course it's season ending.
Here, let me get to question number one in 4.5 questions, because that's one of my questions.
Okay.
Because Flip Saunders just said, announced Ricky Rubio is out for the season, joining Shabazz and the Big Pecker.
Jesus.
The Wolves are tanking for Towns. Can I say that? I mean, for Cat. I'm sorry.
No, you can't say. Yeah,
for
you can say
Cat. Would Flip say that if I worked for a reputable media owner, they would fire me for saying something like that? Because let's be honest, the Wolves have nothing to play for. Why don't they shut down KG too? Is it because they're worried about the tanking talk? Worried about backlash from fans? Instead of listing players like him that are going to, you know, possibly be playing, but then they just don't play. So fans come to the game wondering if KG's going to play. Oh, KG's going to play because he's listed as doubtful or questionable or something, and then he never plays, thus lying to all of us to get us to these meaningless games. So I don't really know what the question is here, but try to answer something for the Wolves. Go.
It would be better if Flip just came out and said, I'm going to pull these guys out of the lineup, save them for next year because they've been nicked up, or KG's on the, he's getting up there in age, and I just want to keep his body fresh and vibrant, or whatever he does in practice, to be able to contribute that way. And then next year we're going to run and gun.
Because they'll win the Final Four if these guys are all healthy.
Final Four?
And if they don't win the Final Four, they'll win the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah.
And if they don't win the Super Bowl, they'll win the World Series.
Or they could take home the Cup.
And if they don't win the Cup, they'll win the Masters. And if they don't win the Masters, they'll win the U.S. Open. And if they don't win the U.S. Open, they'll win the World Cup. And if they don't win the World Cup, they will win the YMCA third grade non-school conference championship.
That's a good enough reason for me. But I, God almighty, I just keep Rubio out of this thing.
Well, he's done. He's done for the year. He's done.
Rubio out. Why didn't they stop like 2 weeks ago when we knew that they were already tanking and keeping these guys out? And for all the good reasons, all the right reasons, and letting the younger guys just take the reps. Just keep him out. Now he's got another ankle issue, probably the same one.
No,
I don't know.
I don't think, I don't really, I honest to God don't think it's anything worse than what happened before.
Well, that was bad. It kept him out forever.
42 games and then he missed 13 more games. Like you said, he only played 22 games. I don't think it's anything that's been aggravated.
But it was a bone thing. It was more so than a high ankle sprain. It was even more than that. Anyway, next question.
The Wild have lost two straight now for the 11th. No, is it? For the first time since January.
Well, that means we're on the right track.
I'm not worried.
Mike Yost says he's not worried. However, statistically, they could lose the rest of their game, still get in the playoffs if this team loses and blah, blah, blah. But why tempt fate? The Wild can also clinch a wild card spot with a win tonight over Winnipeg at the X, or an overtime loss if the LA Kings beat Vancouver. Jim Rich, the rest of our hockey people, in the know, they scoffed at my question about 4 days off between the Wild and the last couple of games. Last week they played Saturday, then again Thursday, and could it have ruined their momentum, this and that. They're like, oh, please, come on. Are the Wilds still too tired from the stretch of back-to-backs? Did they lose because the Rangers and Red Wings are just that good? The record at home hasn't been great lately. Needless to say, with all these questions, are you worried about the Wild?
I'm not worried.
Mike, Yo's not worried.
Why doesn't he stay out of it? I mean, Mike, just tend to the guys, and you got a game tonight. Stay out of my questions. I'm not worried either.
I'm not worried.
But Munch? I think they're going to be fine. What they're going to be in. I just hope they have something left. This has been an incredible push. I mean, in all the seasons that I've seen since I've been in this town of any sport, this is like the most amazing thing I've ever seen, is to see a team just, and I don't want to overuse the phrase, suck ass.
You've said it like three times every break so far.
Three or four times. But listen, they've turned this thing completely 180. I've never seen that before, where a team that is so incredibly bad, I mean so bad, and then turn around and become the opposite, the mirror image, the exact opposite, and become like the best team by far all the way down the stretch then in the second half. And I don't know what they got in the tank. I don't know. I wonder how much they're going to have left.
That's the problem.
That's a hell of a run.
That's the problem.
I know it. And I
peaked too early. But they had to.
They had to. They had to. They wouldn't even be this far. I mean, I don't think any of us thought they would have a chance at the playoffs, and they find themselves knocking at the door. They just have to. It's a formality, but I wonder what they're going to have for the playoffs. I really do.
Yeah. Question three, Vikings preparing for the NFL draft at the end of the month. There's still some veteran free agents that would make a pretty valuable addition to the team, like Greg Jennings. Jennings didn't want to restructure his deal, so that's why they cut him. After trading for Mike Wallace, since he still hasn't signed anywhere else, should the Vikings try to bring back Greg Jennings?
No, I don't. I don't think that would be very good to.
He's a great guy.
I think he is too. I think he said all the right things when he departed, but I don't think maybe a lot of those things are the way he really feels. I don't think he'd want to come back.
He's going to keep his house here in Minnesota. He never said anything about Wisconsin.
I didn't say the state.
He loves it here.
I know he does, but I'm talking about playing here again.
I would think he would love to play here again.
With Mike Wallace in town?
Mike Wallace is the number one guy, Charles Johnson the number two, and he's the slot. He's a natural slot receiver as it is. He fit perfectly.
I think Greg Jennings thinks that he's probably still
got a little
more there. Well, but I think he'd have a tough time. I think he'd make a great player if he wanted to come in under those circumstances and cut way back, way back. And who sits down then, Jarius, right?
Yep.
Ooh, I don't know. Mm. I like him too.
Question four, Gopher women's basketball standout and sophomore Amanda Zowie B. Remember her? She's turning pro. She announced or will announce today, I believe, according to sources. 6'5", All-American center, could be the top pick in the April 16th WNBA draft. The WNBA has strict rules about who can leave school early in the draft. Zowie B, she's from Sweden, eligible because she's going to turn 22 during the calendar year of the draft. She averaged 18.8 points, 12.9 rebounds, 4.1 blocks a season. Fourth in the nation in rebounding, helped guide the Gophers to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2009. While the top WNBA salary for rookies is just under $50,000, Zowie B could make a few hundred thousand dollars playing overseas. But do you think she's making the right decision? Because I'm not sure that I do by any means. Finish college, you have free college. Unfortunately, it's not like the NBA or the men's basketball program where these players leave when they're freshmen, one and done, they're called, and they make millions upon millions of dollars to forego college. That possibly makes sense to me, but for Zowie B to leave college, free college, at the University of Minnesota, well-respected college, university, across the world.
Agreed.
For her to leave and go to the WNBA to make $50,000 is a massive mistake, in my opinion.
Well, but then you left out the part, though, about the couple hundred thousand dollars overseas that she'd have.
What's she going to do without a college degree with a couple hundred thousand dollars in the bank when she's done playing?
I'm not saying that she can't go on and find something to do and be productive and make some good money, but I would say that, I mean, can't she take some classes online and still can finish up her school?
The University of Phoenix is not comparable to the University of Minnesota.
You're telling me that the University of Minnesota doesn't have anything online to
take? I'm sure they do.
I'm quite sure they do. And I'm sure that she could probably continue on with a couple classes here and there and then come back during the off-season, what little off-season she would have, and probably take another couple classes here. I'm not telling her what to do.
In the off-season, she's going to be in Europe.
But not for the whole time. They come back for a month or so, don't they? They don't just go from here to Europe and back here and jump into the gear here. No way. Lindsay Whalen's been doing it for a long time. I talked to her once. I think she's got like 2 months off in between. Why can't you take a couple courses there? And then go do some online.
Mistake.
Look, why don't you go and sit down and be her advisor then?
I'm telling her right now. Don't do it.
Are you an advisor?
No. But I should be.
She's a heck of an athlete. Go make a couple $200,000-$300,000. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, bank it. Be smart.
Stay in school and win an NCAA championship. Well, how about that?
Well, we could use that too.
Your girl Rachel Banham's coming back next year.
Is she going to come back?
Yes.
Was she medically redshirted?
Yes.
Wow.
What an unbelievable team they would have over there across the train tracks from us.
We had her at the state fair.
Yeah.
She came out and talked with the coach.
Half question.
Coach Stallings.
The draft tendencies of Rick Spielman. One word answer.
Consistent.
I don't think so.
Did you ask yourself the question?
No, but I will.
Go ahead.
Inconsistent.
You suck ass.
Gotta take a break.
Let's take a little break. Radioactive Sports.